Cheers.
Cheers.
Hello.
Hello, good evening. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Eating pastries.
Delicious, delicious pastries from...
Where I work.
Yeah, the name of the place where he works that will not be named.
Not because of anything other than...
Our own privacy.
We like discussion, yeah. Discussion's key. Yeah. How are you feeling since you got the vaccine?
My week was a little hard. I was really tired for a couple of days, but honestly, like, I feel so much more confident. I think in another week, like, by next Tuesday, after the, like, 2 week period, I'm gonna be, like, so happy. So, like, nice. He's, like, yeah. Even today, I was just, like, wandering around out in the world, and, like, everything just felt easier,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. For sure. Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better.
Yeah.
Sláinte.
Sláinte.
So, we're drinking, just to start, a little Sauvignon Blanc. I like this producer. I drink their Cab Sauv too, and I get it at, if you know me, you know it well, the Heights in Lincoln Heights, mm-hmm. off Broadway. The producer, I think their name is Le Zsa Zsa de Zhao. It says it's Zsa Zsa is an old French slang word for a glass of wine, an everyday wine. Zhao is a beautifully prestigious wine estate in the south of France. Ben is an artist with a strong link to Chateau de Zhao's contemporary art museum. And it says this is a fresh, clean, and zesty Sauvignon Blanc, ideal as an aperitif and accompaniment to fish and seafood.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you enjoy it as I do, well chilled, as a partner to all those good things in life. Salut. Estelle Barron, winemaker. Yeah, it's like a $14 bottle of goodness.
That's awesome. It doesn't pair super well with the pastries.
I don't mind.
I'm not loving the pairing.
But you had the jelly one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a jelly one. But going well with my, like, corn one.
It does have, like, a little funk, which is interesting. Like, when you're drinking it, like, on the palate, it, like, for me, it's coming off as, like I'm eating a bunch of herbs. Like, I put, like, just a mouthful of herbs into my mouth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I see. Like, herbs and, like, citrus peels. And
Yeah, there's definitely an herbaceous quality, mm-hmm. with it being Sauvignon Blanc for sure, too.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely get the citrus peel. It's definitely, mm-hmm. like, it's not, like, astringent, but it has that salinity that you kind of want.
Mm-hmm.
You could say it's a little grassy, maybe.
Like, very grassy. Mm-hmm. Like, for people who normally drink Sauvignon Blanc, I don't think this is the Sauvignon Blanc for them. It's just, like, it's not quite in the same world that I think of. Like, it's fun and different. I just think, like, people are expecting just, like, a little bit of fruit and then, like, really dry, grassy notes.
And you think this is more grassy than
this is
normal?
Like, this is, like, I'm mowing my herb garden.
Which I adore. I don't like super, like, fruit-forward white wines unless mm-hmm. I'm drinking, like, Albarino. Like, I probably am going to be doing more, like, a Sauv Blanc, a Chenin Blanc, or, like, a Muscadet.
You know, the funk that I'm tasting is petrol. Like...
On the nose a little bit.
Yeah. It, like, might all be coming together. I just got, like, this, like, weird... Don't get me wrong. It's like, it's totally interesting.
This is, like, some of the best, like, this is, compared to, like, what we've had in
I know. It's definitely one of, like...
It's, like, a stronger wine.
Yeah. It's doing stuff.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I can appreciate it for what it is. I think just, like, on a personal note, I don't think I would, like, really enjoy... Like, I would enjoy drinking half a glass of this.
Yeah.
And moving on. Like, this has, like, a specific pairing.
It's great that it's $14.
It's fantastic that it's $14. I bet you, if you, like, put it in the freezer for a little while and have, like, eat, like, even more of a chill on it, like, for me, for my palate, it would probably, like, cut out some of those, like, herby notes and, like, be, like...
But some people love grassy and no fruit, mm-hmm. so, like, this is great.
Oh, yeah. No, there is definitely many people in the world who will very much enjoy this.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many people are telling me that they don't want sweet wine mm-hmm. at the restaurant, and I'm like, you're not gonna drink sweet wine. That's mm-hmm. not happening. Unless you're ordering dessert wine.
Right.
But yeah, this is a perfect, is a perfect option for something like that. It has like a little bit of body. I'd say this is like light to medium bodied.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would say more light body, but it does have, like, really, because it's not, like, super sugary. Like, there's a little bit left over on the palate, but, like...
It just feels like it has, like, some structure to it.
Yeah, it definitely...
It doesn't wash down, like, super quick. It's, yeah. like, lingers in your palate.
Exactly. It doesn't disappear.
It feels a little dense at the end. Mm-hmm. Just the slightest bit. It's, like, kind of, like, a between of Muscadet and Chenin Blanc in terms of where it sits in terms of body. It's, okay. Like, that's how I think.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
And Sauvignon Blancs can be, like, light to medium. They don't all have to be, like,
super light. Yeah.
Especially if there's, like, grapes added to it that you don't know about. Like, this doesn't say whether or not it's 100% Sauvignon Blanc. So I was just learning that, like, they don't have to tell you a lot of wine bottles. They can say, like, what the most dominant grape is, but they don't have to say, like, in some classifications, they don't have to say, like, every grape that's added to it.
Yeah, the rule is if it's by percentage. Mm-hmm. So if there is, if the, like, major percentage of the varietal is, like, Sauvignon Blanc, like, I want to say they can put in, like, 5%, maybe up to 10% of like, varietals that you don't know about.
Yeah. 11.5% alcohol by volume.
Okay, so...
So, like, middle of the road.
Yeah.
Like, standard. More on the lower end, but in a good way.
Yeah, in a way where, like, you could share this bottle of wine and...
Not feel, like, yeah. drunk.
Yeah. Especially if you're, like, out at dinner. I do think it's interesting. I'm trying to figure out, like, what I would pair with this, because it's got all of those,
I feel like a sharp cheese. What else?
You wanna eat, like, cheddar with this?
No, I'm just, like, imagining... Yes, like sharp cheese, maybe like salty crackers, like mustard greens,
you know?
Like in like full foliage, like dark leafy greens.
Oh, like a kale salad.
Yeah,
yeah. If the kale salad had like some like serious Parmesan cheese, in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think that's right. I think cheese is like a right way to go. Because I want like a little like I want this to cut through some fat.
Yeah.
I was also thinking you gave me a good idea, like caviar, like fish eggs. This would be great mm-hmm. with some kind of roe.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like a squid ink kind of pasta, maybe
that
even.
That is so weird. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's interesting. I also, not to keep being me, squid ink pasta is...
Not your biggest thing.
You know, it's delicious.
I was going to say another food that I was like, I know feeling doesn't eat. But I forgot what it was.
The funny thing is like, we're only hitting like the weird things that I don't eat. I eat a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
This is another thing, like, as I sit with it, I'm enjoying it more. Yeah. Mostly because I'm like, it's nice. It's just like nice to think about. Like, it definitely has a little petrol quality of it. I wonder, like, what's the region?
This
is Côte de Gascogne. Uh-huh. I have no idea what that is.
We have to research it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was, watching Wine Folly videos last night, and Madeleine Puckett is actually, like, super cool. She has this whole video on, like, wine regions in France.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically just lays it out, like, in a really conversational way, but she was also getting, like, tips and tricks behind, like, looking at certain regions where they're producing really cool wine, but the price point might be lower because of the fact that that region might not have as much notoriety as one like Champagne or, you know, Beaujolais.
Beaujolais.
So I'm from Jersey, so we kind of mess up. We say Beaujolais, but it's Beaujolais.
Beaujolais.
Yeah.
It's Beau.
I grew up saying Beaujolais all the time, and then I got corrected, and I was like, I know it's Beaujolais, but we just say it different in
Jersey. Yeah, I'm just not thinking about it, okay?
Yeah. But yeah, so maybe this region from this wine area is like really cool,
yeah,
but like it's cheaper because like people don't know about it in the States or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Southwest France.
Is it Southwest France?
Uh-huh.
Okay, which is normally more of like a red wine producing region.
It's funny though, because usually when I think of like white wines that are like grown in red wine areas, it's like Viognier, like big, uh-huh. like juicy, like full yeah. bodied like whites.
Well, this is definitely like fun and zesty, like yeah. a red wine region would be, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not like a cool climate wine.
It's a really good way of thinking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's like that's you're getting that those grassy mm-hmm. citrus notes. It feels like a younger wine. So.
And also, like, maybe it's like I do think that like the pastry like fucked up my palate. Sorry,
sure.
Because I am like now I'm like rolling it around my mouth and I'm like, oh, it's more pleasant than it was on my first couple sips.
Uh-huh.
So
let's Should we do Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and always say fudged up?
Fudged up, yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, is there a good wine term?
All right, so we're opening something really cool today. I picked it up at one of the places I work at. Mm-hmm. It is, it's a Jura, which is a region rather than a varietal. But in certain places, especially France, things are classified more by region.
Mm-hmm.
And certain varietals grow in each region. So that's why I'm naming it a Jura rather than saying what the grape is. The grape is Chardonnay.
Also, like, the way that the varietals are expressed in different regions is vastly different.
Right, because that with appellations in France, they usually have, like, a governing body that decides, like, what grapes are grown there and, like, certain, like, means of production there. This is... So I'm assuming the producer is Damand de Montbourgou. Damand spelled D-O-M-A-I-N-E, Nantga, and then M-O-N-T-B-O-U-R-G-E-A-U. It says... I think the appellation, it says Appellation L'Étoile.
L'Étoile.
L'Étoile, what does that mean?
The star.
The star. Okay. So is that like an area in Jura, you think?
I do remember seeing L'Étoile on other bottles
so
before.
L'Étoile is like inside the province.
Yeah, because at the bottom there it says, Appellation L'Étoile Contrôlée. It's like the governing body of L'Étoile. So it must be like a certain number of hectares are specifically designated to L'Étoile specific mm-hmm. wines.
And this was imported by Rosenthal Wine Merchant in New York. And on the back of the bottle it says, each wine bearing the Rosenthal Wine Merchant mark has been produced in limited quantities by a dedicated artisan. The growers with whom I work follow traditional methods and produce their wines in as natural a manner as possible. In the overwhelming majority of cases, the wines I select are unfined and unfiltered. Therefore, you may find sediment forms in the bottle. This is a natural occurrence. All my wines are shipped from the estates at which they were bottled to the point of distribution in the United States, with every care taken to protect them from the vagaries of temperature fluctuation.
Rosenthal also, if you're interested in wine, is an important... It's the importer. Yeah.
So this bottle is like very Jura looking. It's like a little bit more like stout at the bottom, mm-hmm. and it has like kind of a longer kind of neck. And I think where like the neck starts is a little lower on the bottle than normal, and it has a very amazing yellow wax top that's like OG wax top. Mm-hmm. My som told me to not do this over like a kitchen table, which I'm doing right now because he said that wax is gonna go everywhere. Thankfully, I have a hand vac that will pick up all the pieces.
Really?
You can really see
like,
it.
It looks like a crayon that's your shroud.
Yeah, it looks like a crayon.
Yeah.
Look at it. It's falling off in these like non... Well, imagine doing this at a table for somebody.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh my god, it's like piecing off like stone. Oh my lord. This is incredible.
Sorry, I'm just watching in awe. Whew. That was intense.
And some wax got into the bottle.
Of course it did.
That's
part of the sediment. It's fine.
Yes. Well, I could also technically like run this through like a mesh filter if we want.
Yeah, or like some cheesecloth or something.
Yeah. So I'm gonna vacuum up the bits and we're gonna be right back.
Hey y'all, real quick, this is Anthony from That Som Talks telling you that we have merch now. If you go to our link in bio on our Instagram page, you'll find our merch store where you can support us by copping a t-shirt, hoodie, or even a pair of socks. The profits, a small part of which, do go to us, and we just want to say thank you all so much for supporting us and listening to us, and we will slom talk to you later.
All right, so I just finished vacuuming the table.
Everything feels a little bit cleaner.
Fiona wiped with the bottle with the paper towel, wiped the top just to get those waxy bits off.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to pour through, you can, if ever you have any like kind of cork get in your bottle or there's like a kind of an item in it, you could obviously use like a decanter with like kind of a filter. Like Fiona was saying, I don't know if we mentioned this off or on mic, but you can use like a cheesecloth.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use like a tea filter, like anything that's mm-hmm. fine and mesh. People use it for cocktails all the time. You can also use it for wine just to catch all those like kind of larger mm-hmm. sediments. So I'm just going to put the tea filter over my wine glass. First, I'm just going to pour out a little bit because we were just drinking Sauvignon Blanc. So I'm just pouring out a little bit so that we can kind of like swish it around and
rinse our glasses
exactly. Ooh.
I know. I was filling the bottle as I was cleaning it, and I thought to myself, "Oh my goodness, this is gonna be so good." Because we're like, yeah, okay, we'll talk about it.
Like, this is, like, classic Jura taste. Like,
yeah, it's got this, like, oxidative, delicious quality.
Vanilla.
Exactly.
But not like, in the way that you might, like, affiliate, like, Well, I guess it is a Chardonnay mm-hmm. grape. I mean, and there is a lot of body to this wine already. You can see that the wine color is like kind of like a deep yellow.
Yeah, it's so pretty. It's like daffodil or like dandelion. Yeah. Like, or maybe it's a little more orange. That's why it comes in. Yeah.
Ooh, raisins.
Yeah. Yeah, super raisiny.
Which is like what you get with like oxidated, mm-hmm. like kind of white dessert wines, like raisin, mm-hmm. nut.
Like for me, drinking Jura, every time I think of like sherry, like
that, yes, like, and like kind of like raspberry filled chocolates, mm-hmm. like not the raspberry or the chocolate necessarily, but like that jammy quality that comes with like nuts and stuff.
Yeah, like when you open a box that's like for yeah. Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. and it's been like specially packed. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
I don't think Juras are for everyone, but they're just so unique that they're fun to, like, return to.
Yeah. They're special. They're just really special. Like, the fun fact that you and I learned recently is that we just Googled. the Jurassic period in, like, the timeline, Park. Like, Jurassic Park, is named after Jura. Because that was where they like first found fossils from the in like 1780 something. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's crazy. It was like where they first identified like fossils, and that's crazy. And then like, you know, that's just like a fun story. It probably doesn't really add that much, but it just like it creates like the limestone that like the grapes are grown in. So yeah,
smelling. This wine's definitely, like, a complex white wine, mm-hmm. which I think is something that you don't affiliate with white wine so much as you affiliate with red, is, like, complex journey-taking, mm-hmm. but this wine has body, it has multiple different, like, flavor notes hitting you, mm-hmm. It's definitely, like, it's a white wine that, like, shows up and is, like, you know, if you want something fun and different, choose me.
Yeah. I think, I like to think of it in the way of, like, this is one of those white wines for red wine drinkers, because the reason that red wine drinkers don't drink white wine is they're like, it's boring and basic. Yeah. And it's like, well, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Not all white wine is boring and basic. Not all Chardonnay tastes like oak and butter and a little bit of fruit.
Yeah. What would we eat with this?
I was just thinking scallops.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, some kind of scallop dish, but like,
also something like
stand up to any kind of like chicken dish. I honestly think this could probably stand up to like rabbit.
Okay,
maybe rabbit's a little too gamey.
I'm thinking like swordfish.
Ooh, swordfish,
like a strong fish.
Yeah,
some chew, octopus even maybe.
Ooh, this would be great with octopus.
Yeah,
depending on the
grill.
Yes.
I'm definitely drinking this. This is like dinner wine. This mm-hmm. is like, this is something I'm not gonna have in my fridge.
No,
I don't want to drink Juras like all the time.
Like, what's either. The bottle price? Like, we didn't mention that.
I bought
like,
this at Costco, so it's probably gonna be sold a little bit higher on like Vivino. But I bought this for like $27 before tax.
Yeah, so $27 is the inflation isn't that intense, but it is almost a $40 bottle of wine.
Yeah,
you know, so it's definitely a special occasion wine.
So I just. Rated on Vivino. Yeah, they're saying average price is like they found it for $32.49. Mm-hmm. Vivino's saying it's a 97% match for me. That's funny. Some people are mentioning honey, mineral, saline, nutty walnut, almond, apple, yep. Green apple pear. So, you know, it's like Chardonnay, but like make it a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, give it that raisin nut quality that you affiliate with like some dessert wines, mm-hmm. but then make it not a dessert wine. Yeah. And Jura dessert wine is also super awesome too, by the way. Fiona and I are like pretty familiar with. So I would love to eventually try a Jura red. I think I've only ever had Jura white wines.
I don't know if I've ever had a Jura red wine.
Definitely should be on
it. It does have like, they grow like Trousseau, which is what I was already saying is like one of my favorite varietals.
Yeah.
So like they grow interesting stuff. We should look out for one.
This is like a super smelly white wine. Like mm-hmm. most of the time when guests are asking for smelly white wine on a by the glass list, I'm recommending the orange because all the white wines are super accessible. Mm-hmm. You never see a Jura by the glass usually because
it's just too expensive.
The price point would be weird. But there's probably a certain place that could do it where people would actually be down for it. But it's not in a lot of restaurants that you'll go to.
I would say, like, my previous employment. You could have found this by the glass, sure. Maybe.
But if someone said, I don't want skin contact, I want, like, a white smelly wine, like, smelly white wine, totally Azura. Also, maybe something like an Albarino. But that's in the other direction. Mm-hmm. That's, like, aromatic smelly, yeah. And it's all fruit forward. This is going to be, like, nutty smelly. This is just, like, kind of weird in a way a lot of guests like, because it's complex in the way that you're sitting with it. You're not, this isn't chuggable. Mm-hmm. Like, you're enjoying this for, like, the time it's in your glass, you know.
We also, like, this is dinner wine for us. We've actually had dinner with Jura before.
We're well acquainted.
Yeah.
ABV on this, it is a higher ABV. This is a 14% bottle. I remember to check that because last time Fiona and I enjoyed a bottle of Jura wine, mm-hmm. we were decked afterwards.
Yeah.
And so with a wine like this, it truly is dinner wine. It's best if you're sharing this with a group of like four people, including yourself.
Yep.
Just because this wine is going to, it has a lot of alcohol in it.
Yeah. It's extra boozy.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing. Like, you don't always see white wines being quite as high ABV, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm not too sure, but I know for a fact I can assume not.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, every time we've ever had a Jura, it has been higher. So, that's something I'm going to now look out for a lot more when mm-hmm. I'm buying. Cause I always have thought of myself as like the young Anthony who's a tank who can drink anything, but mm-hmm. it is a real like noticeable difference between kind of drinking a half bottle of this with a friend and then something like the Sauvignon Blanc that we had before.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Those are two different meals in my mind.
Yeah. But you really, you know, you see the 11% versus 14%, you're like, that's not too much of a difference. But that, when the spectrum of wine, mm-hmm. that's a big difference.
That's a huge difference.
You're really going to see, I mean, by the, I'm listening to the audiobook of, what's her name, Marissa A. Ross. Mm-hmm. She has a really cool book called Wine Time.
Or Wine All the Time.
Wine All the Time. She did a blog called Wine Time or something. But anyway, she was basically saying, like, wines range between, like, 9% to 15%. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, they make a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, you will get decked with drinking, like, a 15% ABV, like, Petite Syrah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just thinking that. Like, this is close to Syrah. This is close to, like, that, like, in terms of ABV. Like, this is almost, like, Syrah level. And Syrah is dangerous.
Yes. So I figure we should do, like, our Vivino War for this wine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're doing our Vivino War.
Vivino Wars.
Wars. We are still looking for... I either just need to get up off my ass and make a sound effect, or one of y'all can for us, please. DM us on IG. But we're going to be reading two reviews. Fiona and I have not discussed the other person's review. We just picked two randomly on the app.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Okay. So I'm going to be reading Antonio Richardson. They're reviewing the 2014 vintage of this wine, and they rated it 4 stars, and they go, "Reminds me of a Manzanilla with its rancid butter notes, pear, and walnut. Zippy, fresh saline palate. Yellow nectarine, super oxidative, with creamy macadamia nut finish."
So something I just realized again is that it's, again, Sauvignon.
So I think some of these wines by this producer are either all Chardonnay or a mix of Chardonnay Sauvignon, or some people are literally saying it's 100% Sauvignon, but
Some of these bottles are marked Sauvignon.
Yeah, so maybe they switched it up, but I was told that this wine is Chardonnay, so
You know, maybe we'll learn something new. Yeah. If anybody wants to leave a comment on Apple Podcasts and correct us, because maybe we're just mixing things up in general.
As long as it's a five-star review. Okay.
All right, so Delica Loves Wine rated this wine 3.5 stars.
Okay.
Nut, apple, Rancino on the nose. Crisp attack, surprisingly light compared to the powerful nose. The mouth becomes more and more ample, and nuts aromas more and more powerful. The length on fresh nuts stays very long.
What the hell is this?
Tasted November 2019 at Villon Elie Bay. 75009.
I think that's like a zip code.
Yes. Oh, maybe in France. Maybe that's why.
I feel like the winner is one eye.
Yeah, the winner is one eye. Absolutely. So, no, I. It, yeah.
Can I get a drum roll?
Yeah. Okay.
The winner is Antonio Richardson. Yay! And you win what, Fiona? Our approval. Cheers, Antonio. So I think we'll close off the episode with what's making us happy this week.
Mm-hmm.
You go first.
Thanks. What's making me happy this week? I am so much more employed than I was even a week ago. Mm-hmm. I have so many things happening.
You're busy.
I'm busy. I don't have one actual day off ever right now. Yeah. And honestly, it's great.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's going to be really good. I'm going to be really tired.
Yeah.
It's always going to take me a little bit to like warm up, but like it's going to be so good.
No, it's awesome.
I have two jobs every day now. Yeah.
It feels good, doesn't it?
It feels so good.
It's like a security blanket.
Yeah. And it's just like really nice to know that there's like regular income and I don't have to worry about it.
So we can go out for wine and like,
I know.
Just slap your credit card down and be like, I'm employed, ladies and gentlemen, you know? Okay, that's awesome. For me, it's one thing that's making me happy this week is I got my cat a bow tie.
Oh my,
cat, Coolidge, is wearing a bow tie, ladies and gentlemen, and he is such a gentleman.
He looks so dapper. It's so cute.
I'm just staring at him right now, cleaning himself, and he's wearing the bow tie is really loose on him, so it's like, it's kind of on the opposite side of his neck right now, like he's a little present.
He was about to say that, yeah.
But yeah, he's my special boy. And yeah, so that was something that I kind of got for him as like a belated birthday gift.
Yeah. Yep. Aww, mm-hmm. So cute.
I know. But anyway, y'all, that's going to be our episode for this week.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for listening. You may have noticed that our sound quality is better. We have switched out our old mic for a new mic.
We
are upgrading for you. So yeah, return the reciprocity by following us on Instagram, mm-hmm. rating us five stars on Apple Podcasts. It means the world right now.
Yeah, it really does. And again, we will read all reviews that are rated 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. So again, please correct me as long as you're doing it with 5 stars.
And now we have listeners in Florida, Vermont, and Singapore.
That's amazing.
So thank you so much, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, have a great night, y'all. Great morning in some places in the world. And we'll slom talk to you later.
Slancha.